Yo, 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 man, how's it going? Oz here in the studio, as usual, here in Old Town Salinas. And this episode's going to be a little bit different, man. It's going to be a little bit different in that some of you that have been listening to the show for a while is going to sound familiar to you. And that's because for the first time in our 10 years of podcasting, we're going to republish an episode. We've never done, actually, I don't know. I'm assuming that we've never done this. I don't think in the 10 years we've done this, but the reason why we're republishing an episode is that recently the community lost a big pillar, man. We lost one of the good ones, in a way to say it. Recently, Sergio Alejo, the founder and owner of Stoney's, lost his battle, and the Salinas community is at a loss for that. And I know a lot of people probably are going to hear about him for the first time because of the outpouring, and you might not know why he got so, why the community came out so strongly. And I thought it was a great opportunity to let him tell his story in his words. This is a big reason why I love this medium here, is because you get to hear the people tell their story with their words, their emotions, their voice. It's not just typed up, and I think it's something a little special. So we do this show to promote the positivity of this town, and Sergio was definitely a huge, huge positive impact in this town, and such a hard worker. And a lot of people, are in a place now because of his help. And anyway, I could sit here and go on and on and just talk high things about Sergio, but like I said, I'm going to let him explain it. This is from February 2020, I believe. This was our episode with Sergio, and I hope you get something out of it, and you understand why this person was so special and so loved within the community. And yeah, and we're going to miss him. We're going to miss him. But anyway, I hope you enjoy his story.
Yo, 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 what up? Welcome to another episode of Salinas Underground Podcast. Your weekly look. Well, bi-weekly, man. We've been slacking off this. Holidays, man. We've been having too much fun. We got to bring it back, though. Anyway, your weekly look at Salinas. News, events, restaurants today. You'll hear all about that. Anything Salinas. Anything Salinas, you can... if you want to reach out to us, you can follow us at Salinas Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, all of those at Salinas Podcast. Follow us all there. You can reach out to us there as well. If you ever, any hot tips, like, hey, there's a new bar opening up here. Come check it out. You can go ahead and follow us there. You could also follow the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. At this point, everybody has their own podcast. If you don't, get with the program. Do you listen to podcasts, Sergio?
Yeah, all the time.
That was the most insincere answer I've ever fucking heard. But anyway, yeah, you can find us again, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, anywhere that you listen to music on your phone. There's a podcast section there. Just search for Salinas Podcast and we'll come up. Subscribe. You can listen to all 240 plus episodes that we have of the show, and including the most recent one. Nice. And today, the most recent one today that we're recording right now, like you heard the voice a little bit ago, a minute or so ago, is today our guest is Sergio from Stoney's. Oh, that's what we should have, like a live studio audience and like play a noise and like, oh, you come out and people are clapping. But anyway, Sergio, you from Stoney's. That's the only introduction you need, right? People in Salinas know what that means. They've seen the red carts around town. Anyway, welcome to the show, man.
No, thank you, man. Thank you. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be on your show. Your studio looks really nice.
Right?
I'm digging it. Thank you, dude.
It's real. It's got foam. I always tell people it's got foam and everything, man.
I always wonder what those were. I thought you used
foam. Very expensive pieces of foam, dude. God damn.
It's looking good. It's looking good.
I mean, it works.
You talked about it. We talked about, you know,
sounds much
coming
better,
on your show and talking about it and actually now being in here and
yeah, it's been a long time coming. We've been trying to get this worked out and we finally got it on a Wednesday. It's a rare recording day for us, but hell yeah. That's the beauty of the studio.
Spontaneous.
Yes, the beauty of the studio. Oh man, we've done so many 1 a.m. recording sessions that the world will never listen to. Holy shit. Oh man. Or I don't know, maybe some of those might come out.
Yeah.
Sometimes we live King's Den and we get a little podcasty. And we come in here
night.
And I'm listening to them the next night. Day.
I'm like, hey, can I be in their podcast at 2 in the morning?
The 2 a.m. session.
Got a lot on my mind.
Yeah, exactly. Those are really free. Yeah,
your
man.
Studio open.
Yeah, these are freaking conservative compared to those, man. Those are crazy. I don't know. I'm scared to release those to the world. Like, people are like, you have those thoughts? Like, I don't know. It's the whiskey.
Yep.
But anyway, we're here to talk about Stoney's Bistro. I love the bistro. Stoney's, everything Stoney's, man, because it's got an amazing story from the mall to trucks to now a brick and mortar to even before that. I'm sure there's so much more that led to all that.
Yeah, man. But
where do we start? It was a warm summer day in 1972.
Ah, for real, son. No, you know what? It's a long story and it's a beautiful story on how Stoney's got started. We actually, I think we started about seven years ago.
Dude, we literally are following each other because this is like our seventh year as well.
Seventh year and we started at the same time. You got your studio and
like parallel lives over here.
We got Stoney's Tap House and Bistro.
Holy shit.
Starting July as well. My goal was to have it open by my wife's birthday. That was the goal. And we opened it up and here we are. But yeah, I think it started like 7 years ago.
7 years ago, damn.
Yeah, 7 years ago.
Were you always a cook?
You know what? I always loved cooking.
Yeah.
I always loved cooking. When I was in high school, you know, you have your elective classes and they got that cooking class.
Home ec.
There we go.
It's for girls, boy.
It's the home ec class. And you know what?
I never took that, dude. And honestly, that's like the most reasonable class. The one that should not be an elective. That should be like, you don't need biology, dude. Like, why the fuck do you need to learn biology?
You know,
like, home ec is what everybody should be taking.
They should be taking that because you never know what's going to lead you in life. And I was taking home ec with my teacher. And the highlight of taking that class is when they took us on that field trip. At the end of the class, they took us to the Cordon Bleu culinary school in San Francisco.
What?
Man, I love food and I love to eat. And they had this big old buffet line of food and all nationalities type of food, from Mexican food, Japanese food, Italian food, Korean food. And when I went there, I was wowed. I was like, oh my goodness, I get to try all this food. And that's when I got introduced for my first time was to wasabi. I thought it was guacamole.
I mean, it looks like it.
Yeah, and you know what?
Exactly going
on that field trip, it was so awesome because we got to walk out through all the different rooms. And each single room that you went through was a meat carving, like how to cook meat, how to butcher meat.
Yeah.
And another classroom was like all about wine pairing. Another one was ice sculptures. Another one was about like vegetables, like every single room you went through. But at the end of the whole field trip, you got to eat at the buffet line. And then at the school.
It was all cooked by the students.
Yeah. And I saw those amazing sculptures and I was really wowed by it.
What?
And you're supposed to only take electives, I think, only once. And you're supposed to take another one after that. But I took it all 3 years.
Home ec?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
I took it all 3 years because I wanted to go back. I wanted to go back.
And you
I
really, could? They let you?
Yeah, they let me take it. Okay, yeah, they let me take it. I ended up going on the field trip 3 times. And
dude,
the next time I was prepared about with the wasabi. So I
but be careful with that green shit.
Yeah. But you know what? Yeah, I think that's what set it off. But my first job was out of high school. I started working in the restaurant industry. I worked at Red Lobster. That was my first job. And I was an alley coordinator. You know, when all the food comes out, you put all the garnishes, you prep the food, you put the pastas on the plate, you make sure that everything looks like the picture, you put it on a tray, you scream at the waiter, server, walk your stuff out, and, you know, it goes on the go. And after that, then, you know, I was, my boss would ask me like, hey, so-and-so didn't come into work, do you want to wash dishes? I was like, sure, I'll wash dishes. So I started washing dishes, and then I would work my shift. Then she'll be like, hey, Sergio, so-and-so didn't come in to bake bread. Do you want to bake bread? Those little biscuits. Have you had the biscuits at Red Lobster?
Yeah, hell yeah. Those are famous.
Oh, my God.
The cheddar biscuits, right? Yeah, the cheddar.
So I made the biscuits at Red Lobster.
Oh, shit.
Then the fry guy would call off, and I'd jump on the fryer. And the guy from the steaks, you know, wouldn't come in. Then they throw me on the steaks. And then I was a server. Then I was a bartender. And, yeah, that's how my restaurant, you know, experience started.
Yeah.
Never in my mind did I ever think I was actually going to get into the restaurant business or be a restaurant.
A restaurant owner?
Entrepreneur.
What is that, right? Restaurateur? Yeah. What do they call it?
Or getting, you know what, it's been a...
You're Bob from Bob's Burgers, dude.
And yeah, so it started at Red Lobster, actually. You know, I did 6 years there.
Oh.
With my boss, Connie. Which is, she's still there, which I have a lot of respect for her, man. She taught me.
That's crazy how some people, there's a manager I had at Home Depot who last I knew she was still there as well. And she's the one that got me, taught me the how to manage people, you know, like how to be a leader. And such a trip, you know, those people, how they just kind of influence you in that life.
You know what? When I started working there and I was going through that year after year, working those 6 years, I always like thought of it like, oh man, my boss, she sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
But what's crazy is that once you grow out of that and then you start being in a different position as an owner or as a boss, then you're like, oh damn, that's what they were teaching me. And now you like start appreciating that, you know, the way they were treating you, the way they were with you, because it made you be who you are or who you're going to be in the future.
Yeah, and they knew what they were doing, obviously, right? Like,
well, I don't know if they know what they were doing, because sometimes, you know, you go through it and it's like when you're at home, you know, you live with your parents or you live with your family, you know, they raise you and they try to do the best they can to their ability or whatever, to make you be who you're going to be in the future. And, you know what? I'm very thankful for her and many people in my life that have transpired through this journey to be where we're at right now with Stoney's Tap House and Bistro.
Yeah. So you were out of high school, or when you started working at Red Lobster when you were in high school?
Yeah, I was still in high school. I was going to high school. I was a young father. That's another thing that, you know, I wanted to go to college and go to culinary school. That was the goal. That was the goal. Yeah. You know, everybody has a goal. They want to be a nurse. They want to be a doctor. They want to be
an astronaut.
Astronaut. When they ask me, like, what do you want to be? I want to be a cook. You know, I want to be, you know, in the culinary business.
Okay,
you know?
Cool.
That's
what
I wanted to do. I like to cook. I like to eat. No, but I like to eat, to be honest with you. You know, my mom and my family come from, you know, Mexico. And they, you know, my aunt and my mother, you know, growing up as in her teens, they used to cook and they used to feed people out in the street, like street food.
Yeah.
You know, they used to do street food. Okay. And so that's what my mom came from. And You know, making that home comfort food, enchiladas, taquitos dorados, con pollo and papas and tostadas de lomo, classic stuff. That's what they would sell back in Mexico and Michoacán. Mm-hmm. And so that's how my mom grew up, and she brought us up, you know, with that food. We always had home cooked meals. And so, but never in my mind did I thought that I would ever be into the food business industry. And luckily my first job was actually being in the food business, which leads to where we're at now.
Yeah. And so you were in high school, you started working at Red Lobster, and you already knew you had some kind of, you wanted it. Was the plan to learn from Red Lobster and then move on? Or did you just want to be like, I'm going to be the best Red Lobster cook that they've ever seen?
Actually, I was kind of forced to work. Not forced to work, but like, you know, I was a young father.
Life,
I was a life. I was a dad at, I was 16 and a half going on 17.
Yeah.
And I was going to high school, and I had my first daughter, Lydia. And so my mom says, she whooped my butt. She beat me up with a stick. She whooped me, man. And you know what? I deserved it. But yeah, she whooped me, and she's like, you're going to work. She's what she told me. You're going to work, you're going to school, and you're going to play football. Because I love playing football. Yeah. I played Pop Warner football 2 years, and I liked it, and I enjoyed it, and I was good at it. And so that's what my mom told me. You're going to go to school, you're going to work, and you're going to take care of that baby. And you're going to play football. And I did all 4 years. All Damn. 4 years of school. I worked at Red Lobster through high school. And then I took care of my daughter. My mom helped me raise her. And I took care of business.
So then you graduated, and you had to go into the workforce.
Yeah, I had to go into the workforce, man. Yeah. My whole life changed as being a young dad in this.
Yeah, you had to be responsible.
I had to.
And yeah, so that's obviously very
So commendable. I worked three jobs. I worked at Carmel Valley Ranch. I worked at Carmel Valley Ranch Resort. I worked at Red Lobster. And I worked at Gino's restaurant.
So all restaurants?
All restaurant businesses.
Oh, okay.
And and then I had a whole transition after my whole restaurant and like life, because I was working three jobs from 7 a.m. till 10, 11 o'clock at night. I was getting home. I was getting burnt out. I was young and I was able to do it.
Yeah.
But I was getting burnt out, and I met this guy, Walmer, and he came from L.A. and he proposed something to me. He was opening up a graphic design studio. And he was going to start doing advertising and marketing, which was called Blind Eye Designs. And so he's like, hey, you know what? He went to eat at the restaurant. I went to high school with his wife. And he came to the restaurant, and he's like, hey, you know what? I think you would do really great doing advertising and marketing. You know, you have really good people skills. You know, you want to come and do it. And honestly, at that point in my life, I was like, man, I'm tired of working three jobs. Maybe this could be an opportunity for me to do something different. You know, when you hear graphic design, logos, branding, marketing, you're thinking like, whoa, big things, you know? And so I was like, you know what? I was a go-getter and, you know, trying new things. So I took the risk and, you know, I jumped into it.
And this was like a startup company as well, or this was an established company?
No, it was a startup.
So that's a huge risk. Not only was it a new career, completely different career change,
but a big risk.
But it was a small business that, you know, there was no guarantee there.
You know what? There was no guarantee, and it was a big risk. But at the end of the day, at that time, it probably wasn't the best decision. But now that I look at it, it was actually the best decision, because everything that I learned doing that business and learning about that business, about branding, logo concepts, marketing, websites, business cards, flyers, mailers, like everything that has to do with business, gave me the knowledge to prepare to what I was going to do 5, 10 years from that time. And so in a way, like if you look at it at that time, yeah, the struggle was really hard, but the outcome and the knowledge and everything that I learned was actually something.
Yeah, great. In the long run, it helped you.
Yeah.
So, oh, no, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, so then that transition, was it a smooth transition? You didn't transition into the new career and
everything was nice and great? No, we transitioned into it. I was getting accounts. I was meeting new people. It started opening new doors. I started learning new things. And that's when I started my own business. So when I started working from, there was different promoters and managers and event promoters that would come from LA, San Francisco, Las Vegas to Salinas to do events. And we would design all their flyers, all their posters, all their stuff for promotions. So when I was working for him, I wanted to make some extra money and do everything. So then I build relationships with these individuals and also comedians and music artists. So then I started my own promotion company, which was Alejo Promotions.
And then you would do shows, like concerts, comedy shows.
Comedy shows, reggae shows, MMA shows. I would collaborate with different event promoters and that would come into Salinas and they would hire me to promote their events, or I would collaborate with different people to do events here in Salinas. And my thing was entertainment, nightlife, and that's where I developed. Never thought about food. I never thought I was going to get into the food industry or anything like that. And then, I was like partying.
Yeah.
Living it up, going places, traveling, going to Vegas, Florida, Atlanta, San Diego, San Jose, San Francisco, promoting DJs, doing the whole nightlife, enjoying the whole young life, And then my life changed. My life changed and I was diagnosed, with stage 4 cancer.
Four? That sounds.
Yeah.
Right. Excuse my ignorance, but the higher number is the more dangerous it is. Is that the correct way to say it? Like if one or four?
Well, 1 to 4. Then there's 1, 2, 3, and 4. And 4 was one of the highest. One of the highest. I'm not sure how high now it goes.
Yeah.
Back then, 7. Well, it's been 7. Going on 6, 7 years.
So you're living it up, doing this whole party.
Yeah.
Thing.
I started promoting. From the restaurant and doing the advertising and marketing to start promotions and having a great time, enjoying life as a young individual. Then I was diagnosed with cancer. And that was just like a whole new experience and eye-opening experience for me.
Right. How can you ever prepare for something? Right?
Yeah, it was just like a boom, just hit you from one day to the other. And I was, having fun, working, making money, enjoying life, and everything just slapped me across the face and everything changed.
And then all of a sudden you're fighting for your life.
No, I'm fighting for my life. But yeah. the last thing I thought about or even crossed my mind was just like, hey, everybody that has cancer are gonna die anytime soon, So it was just like, damn, what to do now? It was just survival mode.
Yeah.
At that point. Mm-hmm. And so I was in a long-term relationship for over 8 years, and this is where the whole story starts.
It's so interesting. After all this, it started with having a daughter at 16 to this, and then you're saying this is where it all starts. It feels like we've lived several lifetimes already.
This is where I tell you that. When I talk to you certain times and we ran into each other, where I tell you that this story needs to be told, and it's a blessing, and I thank you for letting me share my story,
I'm glad I can, and I'm happy that you are open to share it, because really I am excited that you're here, and I've wanted you to come on here because you know, again, and you sharing your story with me in our private setting, you know, and just hanging out at bars. I don't know how private that is, but it really pushed me as a potential business owner and now a business owner, you know, now this is a registered LLC. When I met you, it was a dream, you know, but in those conversations, in hearing your story, in telling me, you know, how you persevered, it pushed me a little, you know, in, so that's where I'm glad that, you know, I get to share. Cause when I tell people like, dude, you need to hear these stories. This is your stories that pushed me. If you hear them, they'll also push you. Of course, you know, I'm not going to share your personal story. So I'm glad that you're coming on here and sharing it on our show, because again, you're literally a part of the reason why this all around us exists, is because you sharing your story with me, which you didn't have to. You know, we were strangers. You just set up your cart at the bar. But that honestly helped, you know, push, you know, sometimes where it was just like, I don't want to do it. I just thought about like, okay, it could be worse.
Yeah.
You know, people have had it worse and have dealt through worse. You can put up with this.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, I don't want to interrupt the story, because that it's an excellent story, and it's interesting. Again, we're just getting started.
we're just getting started. And like I was telling you, you know, you opened up that platform to tell that story, and I felt comfortable telling you that story when I met you. And you know, there's only certain individuals and certain people that know around us that know my story and know what I've gone through, and
now millions are gonna know.
Now,
millions of down that.
Absolutely, hopefully, not millions. You know what? Hundreds. There's a lot of people out there going through cancer, and it's very sad. You know, through everything they're going through, and all I want to let them know is that, you know what? I hope when they hear my story that there's always, you know, never to give up and never to lose hope, because that's one of the things that keeps me going. And I was very blessed and fortunate to actually meet this individual that has listened to me and actually has been there for me, that has put us in this where we're at now. And it's not because of, you know, what I've done or what I've learned. Yeah, what I've learned and what I've done is kind of like a certain part of it, but everything is because of this individual. And sometimes, you know, not sometimes, but I want to give credit to the people that actually have partaken into what we're here for, to talk about Stonies and how it all transpired and got here.
Well, and you say that this is just the beginning, because it seems like after you were diagnosed and you went through treatment, all that, you essentially had obviously literally a life change, because it was a life changing experience, but also it seems like your personal life, you know, also sits like kind of reset in itself, your social life.
Oh, absolutely. When I say it was a whole, like, it's the beginning, is because it was a whole, like, 360 in my life, my spiritual life and in my social life and in my purpose in life.
Yeah.
So that's why it was a beginning, because when I was going through what I was going through, you know, in my mind, I just, you know, I'm going to die. You know, it's just a matter of time. Everybody that's gotten cancer has just died. And when it opened up my eyes, and when I was, you know, there's that Relay for Life, a big event that they do here in Salinas. And I remember I attended one of them, but I didn't know I had cancer. I was cancer free, right? And then I attended, I don't know if it was the second or third one, then I was diagnosed with cancer. And walking through the whole, you know, event, and seeing all those lit candles and seeing the pictures of everybody, man, it gave me some crazy anxiety, you know?
Right. I'm just like, hey, this isn't that reassuring, man.
Yeah. No, you know, when I went there the first time, you know, I you walk through there and you see all these faces, you see all these candles, and you see this big event that everybody's supportive of. And, you know, you don't realize it until you start going, you're in it, you know, you're part of your going through what these people went through.
Yeah.
And the pain of the people that have lost people And then that's when it actually like hits you, you know? Yeah. And then you're like, dang, I'm going to be one of those little paper.
Yeah, candles.
Candles lit. And on there, and then you just, you're scared. You're scared, man. Because I'll be honest with you, I was scared.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know, dude. I had my two daughters, you know, and my family. And, you know, I'm like, when is my day coming? You know, and so I was in a dark place.
Yeah.
You know, especially going through chemo, radiation, surgeries. You know, you're trying to find every single cure you could find, changing every single diet you can find, and taking every single little thing that everybody recommends. And, you know, when you're going through it, everybody's recommending things.
Right. Everybody's experts all of a sudden.
Take that. Take this. Oh, so-and-so took this and they're cancer-free, and so-and-so did this and they're good. And so every cancer is different. Every experience is different. Every body is different. People could take so much chemo. Some people could take so much radiation. You know, so many people could take so much pain, and everybody's different, you know? And so at that point, I didn't know what was I going to go through. And so I was in a dark place, man. I'll be honest with you. I was in a dark place.
I mean, you have to come face to face with some questions. And this was a young age. You were how old at this point?
Man, at that point, well, it was 7 years ago. I'm 37. Like, I was barely going to be in my 30s, early 30s.
Yeah.
Early 30s.
Yeah, come on, dude. Who's ready? I'm 32 and I'm still like, damn, what am I going to do when I grow up, man? I'm like, that's crazy. That's nice. And it's, so, yeah. So, again, I could not begin to think how 2 years ago I would have had to have faced my own mortality and been okay with it. Fuck no.
Yeah.
It would have been impossible. And how long did the treatment take? Because obviously,
it worked. It was for a while. I mean, I did my first chemo treatment, and that took about a year. Then after that in between that chemo treatment, I was doing radiation, and that took another year, 2 years that I was going through. I've had four surgeries, two rounds of chemo, two rounds of radiation. I coded twice. I had fluid in the sac of my heart. So that was another surgery. So yeah, man, it was a lot of
holy
crazy
shit.
Stuff going on, you know, through the whole process.
So, multiple year process.
It's a multiple year process.
And this whole time, are you in between the treatments? Because like it's a year, but you're not a year in a hospital bed or something, right? Could you walk around?
No, I was in the hospital for about a couple months. I want to say like about 8 months. My mom.
8 months? That's
yeah, 8 months to recover.
That's way more than a couple.
Yeah, because I was a thymoma cancer. It was a tumor that latched that grew the size of a softball, latched to my lung, and it just fed off of there and grew the size of a softball. And they opened up my whole chest cavity, took it out. And then after that, they decided to do chemo and radiation to kind of get rid of the cancer. And then it was a 3-month process. Every 3 months, I was getting checked, getting checked. And then after that, it went away. And that's why I say it's a long process. I mean, it's been a long journey, is because it came back twice. So, yeah, it came back twice. And it's been actually 3 days ago, me and my wife celebrated. It's been 2 years now since I haven't had a blood transfusion.
Oh, wow.
Which I still have my port. But for 2 years prior to that, I was going every single month to get a blood transfusion. So I would get blood from 3 different individuals once a month, every 30 days for 2 years.
And they had like special blood or something?
No, I would just like people, you know, people get transfusions.
Oh, just.
Or people donate, you know, if you donate blood.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm glad I'm able to be in this platform to let people know is like how important it is for them to donate blood. If it wasn't for those people that donated blood, you know, everybody's different blood types. And if there's not enough of that blood type, there could be an individual out there that needs a certain type of blood type, and if they don't have it, they could die. So it's very important that everybody that donates, or even if they haven't donated, to go out there and donate at least 1 pint of blood, because they could be saving a life. So imagine, for 2 years, 12 months out of the year, I was getting a blood transfusion, and I was getting 3 units every single month, Every 30 days, I was running out of blood. Something in my body was eating up all my red blood cells where I wasn't able to sustain all the red blood cells.
Yeah.
So it was killing them. So I would have to go to the hospital, sit in the chair and, get 3 bags, 3 units of blood.
Yeah.
I would sit there for about 6 hours.
Were you all tired before you started and then you were all energized?
When I was in there, like before I go in there, I would be like dragging my feet. Sometimes they would take me in a wheelchair because my hemoglobin level was like at 6%. It would be at 6. Normal's 13, 14 is normal.
Yeah.
But I was just dragging, my feet every single time going in there. And a big shout out to all those lovely nurses in the transfusion center. They're so amazing at Memorial.
Must have got to know you.
Yeah. You know what? It's actually, I got to go stop by and say hi to them because I haven't been there in 2 years now. So it's been.
Well, cheers to that. I don't know if you have any more beer, but cheers to that, man. Yeah. That's good to
yeah,
hear.
So that was that story with that, man. I mean, it's been a journey. And I just want to let anybody out there that would be listening that's going through cancer is that never give up, never lose hope. You put it all in God's hands.
That's quite a journey. And 2 years. 2 years of
transfusions.
I'm trying to get this whole. So you started Stoney's.
So while after, you were going check this out. So
treatment?
Yeah. So this is where it gets, this is where the story started. And, yeah. Going through everything. Then after, going through treatment stuff, I moved into my house. I moved in to my mom's house. I was in a long-term relationship. I moved into my mom's house. I slept in her futon in the living room. Keep in mind, I used to be an event promoter, party life, all this stuff. Left everything that I used to do before because I was sick and I was going through. My mom took me in, lived in the futon. I had a couple $100 in my account. And I couldn't work. Couldn't do anything. I slept in my mom's living room and I was just going through the process, of my treatment.
Yeah.
And that's where my journey started. I started getting back into my feet, started feeling better. Before I got sick, I was working at a place right here downtown, right across the street, El Callejón.
Spatos.
It's called Spatos.
Remember when it was called Spatos?
Spatos. Brick House, El Callejón. Old Town Bar and Grill.
Old Town Bar and Grill. OBG. Well,
yeah, OBG. Yeah. So, OBG, you remember that?
Fuck.
Yeah, dude. So, there was a gentleman there that opened that place up, and I just got hired to do, I didn't get back on, so I started managing and doing event, nightlife and entertainment there. I started doing some events there and, bought a couple bands and going to the treatment and, trying to get myself back in the feet, on my feet. And then.
So you were still doing the same thing, but just a light version of it.
Light version. Yeah.
I'm not going to Miami or Atlanta.
Yeah. I wasn't doing all that good stuff. I wasn't doing all that crazy stuff anymore. And so, I just started there again. And that's where I met my wife now. It was a crazy day. No, she didn't work there, actually. There was a day there was a private event. I don't tell the story the way it was. So it was a private event.
We'll change all the names. All the names are changed for privacy purposes.
No, it was a private event. And somehow the speakers went out. There was a DJ and this whole thing. The speakers went out. And she came up. And she was there with like a couple of her friends. I'd never seen her before. Mm-hmm. So... she walked up and she's like, "Hey, Sergio, how you been feeling?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm feeling good. Thank you." It's like,
"Back off, stranger."
Yeah. I was like, "Stranger, danger. Danger, danger, stranger. Stranger, danger." So she came up to me and started talking to me. She was like, "Oh, how you been feeling? I know you've been not feeling well." I was like, "I never seen this girl in my life." And she was with the other girls. So I started talking to them and I bought them shots. I was like, I have some shots and relax. The music's going to go back on. Started talking to her. Anyways, so I started talking to her and then I ended up getting her number. And after that, we started talking. We started talking and, I couldn't work anymore after that because I started going through my, I started doing chemo radiation, but pretty heavy duty. And so I couldn't work there anymore.
Yeah.
But she kept coming around. You know, she came visiting. She would come visit me at my house. She would bring me like desserts because I love desserts. So she started bringing me desserts. And then she would take me to the beach and she would read all these scriptures. She had just came back from a retreat in Spain. She saw the Pope. Damn. She saw the Pope and she did, you know, all this other, you know, all the traveled and did all this thing. Well, she came back and, you know, at that time I was in a dark place. And she started reading books to me, you know, in God. About the Bible and God and, you know,
hope. On the beach?
Oh, yeah, on the beach.
Super romantic, first of all.
Bro.
I mean, super romantic.
Very romantic. And I was like, this girl doesn't even know me. She doesn't even have to spend the time,
yeah,
a day to be there for me. And I started liking her, you know, I started liking her. And that's where the journey started, man. She would take me to church at 7 a.m.
Damn.
And I'm not a morning person.
Hell no.
I mean, come on. You know what? She started taking me to church.
Can't like Jesus that much. Yeah.
I liked her that much that I was willing to wake up. I started liking her so much.
Jesus,
like,
so I'm going to do it.
Yeah. I started liking her so much. I started waking up at that time just to go with her. But you know what? It started to really bring a light to my spirit at that point, uh-huh, you know? And, on top of me liking her, and she was there for me. And so at that time I had a lot of medical bills, and this is where everything's going to go. So I'm lining everything up so you guys can understand.
Bro, how I'm loving this story.
We got to, man. And, so I'm not gonna make it that long. So, she would take me to church. She would, you know, she was there for me, help me out. And I had a lot of medical bills coming up and I wasn't, you know, I didn't have no money. So my mom had this idea about having some fundraisers and making tamales. We started making tamales on social media, bro. First and last time I ever do that. We did some orders. We did over 3,500 tamales, maybe even more in 2 days. So that's how the whole culinary thing started. We started doing tamales, and then I started getting back on my feet.
Wait, so you were trying to raise funds for your medical bills.
Yep.
So you started selling tamales on like Facebook?
Facebook. Yeah.
And that's where you're like, holy shit, I'm going to make some money. Some stuff. What? Oh my God.
Okay. I was like, okay, this is going to start
selling.
Yeah. So we started, you know.
Holy sh-
online promotions. No, we started doing selling tamales.
The medical system does work.
Yeah, started tamales. Yeah, social media, man. Yeah. I'm telling you. And then I started helping one of my buddies doing events. I started getting back on my feet. I started doing events, the tattoo festival, Ink at the Bay.
Tamales still?
Or? No. We started doing tacos.
Okay.
So they needed a vendor to sell food at that event. And so I borrowed a taco cart. Then I borrowed a canopy. I borrowed one of those meshes that you put on the canopies, you know?
Yeah.
The regulations from the health department. Yeah. So I borrowed that, went and got my business license, got a health department permit for the day. And I ended up doing the Ink at the Bay Ink at the Bay tattoo festival for 3 days. It was my mom. It was my daughters. It was my fiance. Well, my girlfriend, my wife now, and then my brother. We had a taco cart. We were doing tacos, quesadillas, burritos, fruit cups for 3 days.
Oh, shit.
We're like, damn, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, this makes money, you know? And then, you know, we back to the food stuff that we were doing. So I ended up saving my money, and then I invested that into my first taco cart, you know, the taqueros, backyard taqueros.
Yeah.
So I went, did some research. I found a couple of them in LA, and LA taco carts. Man, they were like popping back over in LA. Taquero thing was going, you know, like back
sure
in the days.
Kept, yeah.
You know, like back in the days when DJs, everybody wanted to be a DJ. Then all of a sudden, everybody wanted to be a taquero. So
whoever makes the carts is making bank.
Yeah. So I ended up investing that money into a taco cart. I posted on social media, never in my mind that I thought that I was going to get into the catering business.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, we love doing food. We love, you know, doing what we're doing. I ended up investing into a taco cart and I posted it on social media again. This is how powerful social media is. I posted a picture of it and there it is. My taco cart, all shiny, brand new. And I just posted my brand new toy. Can't wait to break it in.
Yeah.
All the messages start popping up. Hey, I need a taquero for my daughter's birthday. I need a taquero for a quinceañera. And I never knew like where I was going to take it. So all these submissions started coming in my inbox and people want to know. I didn't even know anything. I don't even know how to price, how to charge, how much meat to buy, and none of that. So then I started doing my research. I got the auto shopper. You all know all the taqueros in there?
Yeah.
Called them up. Hey, how much you charge for 50 people? We charge this much, this much, this much. Includes this, this, this. Took my note. Call the next one. How much you charge for this many people? So then when I was working at the restaurant, when I was promoting at the restaurant, I called one of the cooks and I was like, hey, if I'm going to cook for 50 people, how much meat do I buy? And then he's like, oh, so many pounds of meat of this, so many pounds of meat of that. So I took all my notes. I was like, all right. So I did my first backyard gig. Did my first backyard gig doing tacos. Then I got my second one, my third one. And my mom would help me out. At that time, you know, I was going through everything I was going through. So I wasn't able to work. So
yeah. And that's also what I still find amazing. And I want people to also keep realizing is you're going through stage 4 cancer treatment at this point.
Yes, sir.
In between all of this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't mean to laugh. I laugh in that is such an, that's an amazing spirit. And again, and that amazing that you know, were able to do this. Your now wife was able to pull you, you know, to help you through this and all these other people, everything, how it all came together. And it's an amazing story. So anyway,
we did our first couple weeks and the next thing you know, we started getting booked Saturdays and Sundays. Then we started doing weddings and started doing different events. And that's where Alejo Catering came along.
At this point, and before that, it didn't have a name really. It was just.
It didn't have a name. It was just for, you know.
Let's just hit me up. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just do this for fun. You know, we're doing it for fun or not for fun, but to help, you know, to bills and.
Yeah. And people were. There was demand for it, so why not?
Yeah, there was demand, and we're just doing it. And, a lot of individuals were involved. You know, my brothers, my parents, you know, her, herself. And keep in mind, she had her career. Like, she had her own business job that she worked for. She worked at Macy's at Clinique for over 15 years. She managed 22 employees. She was running a $2 million counter.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? Like she had her own stuff that she was doing, but it started snowballing. Like it started getting busier and busier. And we ended up,
So it turned into Alejo Catering.
Then turned into Alejo Catering. Yeah. And then we ended up, we needed a trailer for our taco carts. Cause then now we needed two taco carts.
Yeah.
And after that, we ran into this individual that was selling a funnel cake business with the whole trailer, funnel cake, carnival food business. And I didn't need all that. And we took the risk and we're like, okay.
I needed the trailer,
but the funnel cake stuff was in there. And the guy was like, oh, I'll teach you how to make funnel cakes and deep fried Oreos and corn dogs like the carnival does. And I was like, I really don't need that. And Elvia, which is my wife now, she's like, you're crazy. You don't need that. Just buy the trailer. I go, but what if we could do this and do that? She's like, Sergio, you're crazy. And I'm like, okay, let's not do it. But then I convinced her and we ended up getting a funnel cake business with the stuff that we were doing. So we started at the Old Town. We did the Old Town Farmer's Market.
Okay.
We did the Old Town's Farmer's Market. Then we did the Baranda. Sanborn and Baranda Farmers Market every Friday. We started doing funnel cakes, carne asada fries, you know, Twinkies, deep fried Oreos, chili cheese fries and corn dogs and all that carnival stuff. And then after that, we ended up going to a different farmer's market And then we started looking at different venues and places because we started growing our people. And that was only once a week. And then all our followers were like, where are you at on Mondays? Where are you on Tuesdays? So we ended up opening up our first business inside the Northridge Mall.
Yeah, that's where I mean, I didn't meet you there, but that's where my Stony store journey begins.
And that's where Stony's transpired. And that's where it came from. And everybody, well, not everybody, but a lot of the people that comes up is like, where do the Stony's name come from? Or like, why Stony's? You know, it's like, what is it? And they're curious about it, you know? Yeah. And, you know, that's where the whole thing came about.
At the mall. So, yeah, because at that point, it was still Alejo Catering.
It was Alejo Catering. And so when we did the farmer's market, it wasn't Alejo Catering or it wasn't Stony's. It was Gio's World's Funnel Cakes, which when I met my girlfriend, well, she's my wife now, my girlfriend at the time, you know, she got pregnant. I was blessed with my son because the doctors told me I wasn't going to be able to have kids and, you know, chemo, radiation, all that stuff. Messing yeah. Everything in your body. You know, I was really blessed in which I was told I was going to be a dad again. And that's what made me even fight even more to stay alive. And so I named, you know, what we named, you know, the farmer's market business under our son, Gio. And then so when the opportunity came to open up in the mall, I really wanted, that's where the whole branding, advertising and marketing came into play.
In all the history.
The history of that. And I was like, okay, well, we can't call it Alejo Catering because or Alejo's whatever we're going to do. And originally we were known as Mexican food, you know, enchiladas, taquitos, burritos, tacos, all the Mexican.
Great. Well, it's so funny hearing this story and knowing the Stony's menu of today. You can see it all coming together. Some things aren't there anymore. Some things are still there.
Yeah, some are even meshed in with where we came from because I didn't want to lose.
Yeah.
I didn't want to lose where we came from.
Yeah.
And even if you look at our logos from Alejo Catering, from Gio's, from Stony's, Fresh Fun Food in the Mall to Stony's Tap House, if you look at the logos, there is an icon or something in each single logo that represents each thing to where it's at now.
Yeah, dude, that's so, you know, I freaking love that. Again, you have to listen to this episode and then go to the restaurant. It'll be a whole different experience.
Now, people start looking they start looking at our catering website and our page and our Stony's and start looking into the whole thing. It all starts making sense on how it goes. And it has its own unique story on where it led to where it's at. So, we ended up, my daughters, we were trying to pick a name.
Yeah.
We're in the mall. You look at all the restaurants in there. They're all corporate franchise names. I couldn't go in there with what we had because it wasn't going to make sense. You know, it has to make sense to people. You have to brand it. It has to have good colors. You know, it has to be noticeable. It has to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when we were, trying to figure out what we're going to call it, you know, everybody knew me as Alejo because of my last name and then I played football. And then, you know, everybody knew Gio's because of the funnel cakes and the ballpark stuff. But when we used to do the tattoo festivals and all the events, majority of people would refer to our food as stoner food. You know, because it was all munchy food.
Yeah.
It was munchy food. And that's where like the whole name kind of came out. We did the tattoo festival 1 year. And then the next year, well, we did it for 3-4 years or four, five years. I think we did the event. So there was tattoo artists that came from all over the place, from Spain, Australia, New York, Vegas, everywhere.
Yeah.
They would come to the Modern Fairgrounds and do these events. And I would do deep fried Oreos, photo case, carne asada fries, bacon dogs and all that stuff. So, you know, they would be like, hey, Stony's, what's up, man? Hey, man, what you got? Hey, cook me up with some food. And so my daughter was like, hey, dad, every time we go to the tattoo fair, everybody calls you, you know, they call you, hey, Mr. Stony's, hey, Stony, Mr. Stony. And so that's where like the whole name came about. It was because of the events that we used to do and what people would call.
Yeah, and the food that you and the food that you that did just because you didn't even want to, just because
it just fell into place.
The trailer was there, that the everything was set up, and the guy taught you. That's hilarious.
Yeah, and it just fell into that. And my daughter's like, "What?" So, not kidding you, I went to sleep. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I in my dream, I remember sketching this logo that I seen with the name. And then I added the flame from Alejo Catering, added those elements into it. I took I wrote it on this little paper napkin, took a picture of it. I sent it to my friend, Raul Magallanes, which is a graphic design studio. Everybody knows him as Comega. Big shout out to him because he's the one that actually, you know, branded.
He took the vision and vision. Made it.
He took the vision and put it into place to be what it is now. And I want to give him credit for that because he actually, you know, gave us that stepping stone to get to where we're at with the look of our name. And yeah, so that's where Stoney's came about, and it just started getting people's curiosity to know about the name.
All right, we had to take a quick break there. We had a first city break. But anyway, we were talking about the graphic designer that put it all together. The guy that took your vision.
Raul.
And came up.
Raul.
And this was one of the guys that you worked with all those years before?
Yeah. So when I worked at the graphic design studio, when I was telling you that I used to work at a graphic design studio, Raul was one of the designers that I brought in to work with us as a designer. And then a couple years later, me and Eddie Guajardo and Raul decided to open up our own graphic design studio. And we were like 19 or 20 years old at the time.
Dang.
And it was called a different design studio. And we opened up a graphic.
ADD?
ADD. because we wanted to be different, you know, a different design studio. And that's when the whole real estate market was booming. Everybody wanted business cards. Mailers, flyers, websites. And yeah, we owned our own design studio at 19, 20 years old. And we learned a lot. And those individuals like themselves are where they're at because of the experience that we just threw ourselves out there.
Yeah.
And
when a decade later you reached out back to him.
Yeah, no. So when he always designed stuff for me. He used to do all my promotional flyers, my event flyers, my logos, any project that I had, I would always call him up. And he always backed me up, man. I was really blessed to have him as a friend. Well, he's still my friend. And, you know, to have him brand and create images.
He came up with the color scheme, the Stoney's
one? He came up with the original Stoney's, the red, white, and blue color schemes. And then after that same concept, my friend now that I went to high school with, which is one of our barbecue pit masters that I brought into our team with Stoney's Tap House, he is the one that created, he's a designer himself, and he created the Stoney's Tap House and Bistro logo with the barley and the flame, and kind of created the same concept and the tap, and he made the tap, and that's where he came along and built that entity into that.
So you opened Stoney's up at the mall.
Yes.
Which, like I said, that was my introduction to, I remember going there. And again, no disrespect to the Northside or anything, but a lot of it, like you were saying, it's corporate. You know, that's where you go: Outback, Applebee's, Buffalo Wild Wings. That's where
McDonald's, Panda Express, Subway, Cold Stone.
Like, I'll go to the mall. The mall always has, the food court always has like one or two, like El Jalisciense or something, you know? Like, they always have something, a couple things that are local.
Right.
And I walked in and I saw Stoney's, and they caught my eye. The color, again, it's funny because it all worked, you know? The color scheme caught my eye. Everything looked really nice and clean. And then I looked at the menu, and it was good. It was like stadium food, you know? It was different, you know? And it was stuff that, like a hot dog, really a good hot dog, you know, like it's really hard to find, not like a little wiener schnitzel thing, which, I mean, don't get me wrong, that they're good and they do the job, but it's slightly different. And I remember getting my food and just being like, holy shit, this is exactly what I was expecting.
Comfort food.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, let me see where this chain's from, you know, I bet they're just like a West Coast chain. They seem like a small, you know. Like, I don't know how they got a franchise here in Salinas. And then I looked it up. And I think at this point, I think the Weekly may have already done, or somebody did a thing.
Yeah.
And it was a local thing. It said, oh, no, this is a one-off place. This isn't from Salinas. It's, yeah. it's, and I was like, wait, what the hell? Like, the, and yeah, so that, not that I would go there like every day or anything, but definitely when I was on the north side or when I went to the mall, like I specifically was like, now that I know it's a local place and it's cool, you know, I like the food. It's the only place you can easily get a bacon wrap hot dog like that. You can just know.
Or a baked potato.
Yeah, exactly. and then I didn't really, you know, I was just a customer, but then you started taking, at some point you got carts, right? Because they're not trucks, they're carts.
Yeah.
And how long after you opened the brick and mortar Stoney's did you get the red cart? I mean, it's kind of iconic.
The red trailer.
Yeah, the red trailer. Yeah.
The red trailer. So there's food trucks and there's like trailers. They got these trailers going.
Yeah, because these don't drive. You have to.
Yeah, you have to pull them with your truck.
Yeah,
you have to pull them with your truck. And I got it 2 years after being in the mall. And the reason being is that the mall got bought out by a different company 2 years after that. So one of my friends was one of the leasing managers there at the mall when it was owned by the previous owners. And he told me like, hey, Serge, you know what? The mall got bought out. Different companies coming in. They're going to reamp the mall. They're going to do this, this, and this, and that. I'm not going to be working there anymore. So I was like, okay, cool. So I was like, all right, I got to do a backup plan. Just in case, you know, something happens later on, which I'm glad I did. And so we started, that's when Stoney's, the original Stoney started being mobile.
Yeah.
And started mobilized. Mobilized and started going and doing different events. And just because of the name, we started getting invited to a lot of different events all over, you know, San Jose, Oakland, Modesto, Madera, all the way down South County and up north. We were getting invited to different events.
Yeah, because that's a really catchy name, you know, better than like, oh, Sergio's Comfort Food, you
or
know,
Gio,
like,
come on, you know, like, yeah.
Stoney's really stands out. It's a good name.
And you know what's fun? Not funny, but like it's like people always ask, like, where does that name come from? What does it mean? Or what? If I was to still call it Gio's World's Funnel Cakes or Gio's, you know, the way I wanted to call it. Well, we called it at the beginning. You know, people are not really going to ask about it or be intrigued about it. But what made me change the name or look at something different was because I did a Google search and then I started looking at the names. And when I put the name in, all these pizza places and Italian restaurants started popping up here and there. And so I was like, well, that's not really us. Our format and our concept of food was ballpark, carnival, and like fair food that we were doing, because we were doing candy apples, funnel cakes, deep fried Oreos, baked potatoes, corn dogs, bacon dogs, stuff you get in the street, like street food, carnival food, and like amusement park food in one place. So you don't have to, if you wanted to get a funnel cake, you didn't have to pay an admission fee to go get a funnel cake with strawberries, Oreos, ice cream, and all that stuff, you know? So that's what our model was, and that's what we wanted to create. But then I always had this itch about doing other stuff. You know, I started getting into barbecue food, you know, pulled pork.
Yeah.
I started getting into like other types of food, tri-tip and shrimp and fish. And I wasn't able to do it in the mall. I wasn't able to. And that's where, you know, you asked me like, oh, why, how did it transpire of you getting the truck and getting everything?
Yeah.
I wanted to start bringing different food in there, but I wanted to do a burger because we were like, oh, do you guys do burgers? Do you guys do fries? And I was like, we did do fries, but we didn't do hamburgers, sandwiches. Subway was next door. McDonald's was on the other side.
Yeah.
So there's certain rules and regulations that you cannot do.
Oh, something. Really?
You can't do certain things.
Ah, what?
And I was like,
no burgers.
When people put restrictions on me, like, yeah. You know? So I started getting my food truck, and that's when we started testing out different stuff. Pulled pork sliders, barbecue pulled pork grilled cheese sandwiches, Philly cheese sandwiches. You know, that's where my creativity and the stuff that I loved and craved, and I knew people wanted, I started doing them out of the food truck, the food trailer.
Yeah. Okay, so that was more like an experimental thing. It's kind of like, well, Alvarado, you know, we're drinking Alvarado here. You could go to their restaurant in Monterey, and they have that little area where they make beer, and it's their experimental stuff.
Yeah.
Or you go to the Salinas one where you get the Mai, you get, you know, the Mai Tais, the whatever, you know, the
craft stuff,
the things that you know that they're always gonna have. You
yeah.
know? But yeah, but that's cool. So yeah, so you use the truck as a platform to experiment, to be yourself, to do things that you've wanted to experiment. At this point, you're pretty comfortable in the food industry. I would yeah. think, you know, you've been doing the catering, you had your brick and mortar, and then you had the trucks, and well, now fast forward all that. Not trying to skip anything by, but I really definitely want to get into the newest endeavor now, which is yeah. Stoney's Tap House.
Yeah.
So you're back at a brick and mortar, but no restrictions, I'm assuming, at this point. You can sell burgers.
Yeah, no, when the food trailer gave us the opportunity to try different things and see what customers were attracting to, see what they liked, you know, doing fish tacos yeah. with handmade tortillas,
yeah,
doing oyster tacos. You know, doing things that we couldn't do inside the mall. And Alvarado Street Brewery gave us the opportunity to be in their patio for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
And that's where I was able to experiment with different foods, seeing what they liked, pairing stuff with beer.
Yeah.
And that's where we got I started like having fun. It was more like having fun. Things that I wasn't able to do in the mall, I was able to do in the food truck.
Yeah.
And in that food truck, we would drive it to the Santa Cruz tequila and no, it was a
taco
festival.
Yeah,
taco and tequila festival we did at the Inc at the Bay. We started doing all these events everywhere in different cities. And at the Alvarado, I started getting creative and pairing our food with the beers. And that's where, like, that's how it transpired to opening up Stoney's Tap House and Bistro, where it's craft beer and food that's diverse and it's comfort food that you're going to get in one place.
Yeah. And it's kind of been designed to go with it, right?
You know, yeah.
You got the beer, and like that beer is just specifically there, you know, I was going to say, it's not Budweiser, but it would be Budweiser if Budweiser paired good with some of your food.
Right.
I guess what, so, but which, you know, all of the beer you have there kind of goes with it.
Well, one of the things that really got us motivated was that the beer that's just, you know, the whole craft industry of beer is booming right now.
Yeah.
Everybody's all into craft beer right now. And craft beer is like with our food, it's craft. You know, we craft this food. We bake this food. We made our own ingredients. We mix different things together. Like, we got a mango fusion shrimp taco with mango salsa and shrimp and cabbage. And you know, our barbecue pulled pork grilled cheese with bacon and sauteed onions. So you're mixing all these flavors mm-hmm. together in a sandwich. So the thing is, with craft beer, you're able to mix different fruits, different wheats, different barleys, different, you know, et cetera, hops.
Yeah.
To make your own craft beer, to make it your own taste, your own profile, your own taste buds. So us being at Alvarado, I started, you know, kind of like watching how they made the beer and how they put things together and how they came about, you know, canning it, giving it the brand, giving it the image and the profile. So I was like, wow, this is kind of like what we do with our food. So I was like, well, at that tap house that we're at, it was just beer. They didn't have food. So I was like, what would it be cool is that to open up a place where you could get craft beer from local places all around this whole county and put it in with our craft
yeah. food.
And so that's where like Stoney's Tap House and Bistro came about.
And then, and it's yeah, I love that, like craft on craft.
There you go.
Yeah, it's local craft beer. And again, Stoney's Tap House, gotta shout it out, gotta let her know where it's on Main Street, Highway 68, right on the edge there, right? Yeah. The Knob Hill Shopping Center. It right by Zeph's One Stop, right?
Well, yeah, it's inside. Yeah, it's inside Zeph's wine bar building. It used to be the old Portobello restaurant right across the street from Gino's, right in the Knob Hill Shopping Center, 1366 South Main Street.
Right on
that's
the
where
edge.
We're at. We have an outdoor patio, 24 craft beers on tap. We're rotating those throughout the weeks. We have different different beer from different breweries. And our main focus is focusing on a lot of local stuff, local craft beer, you know, in the surrounding areas, just like the beer, but also like wine. You know, when I used to work at different restaurants, they really wanted to us as servers to pair the food with the wine of the whatever the customer was ordering. And that's the same thing we want to do with craft beer. It's like, you know, what do you want to drink? Oh, well, what are you going to order to eat? You know, it's like, okay, you're ordering fish, you're ordering ribs. Then, I recommend this. What do you normally drink? You know, that's what the questions that we ask. And we want to give our customers that experience that they could think outside the box. So, you know, there's a certain, you know, most people drink, Corona, Modelo, like the regular, you know, stuff that they're used to drinking. So we want to get them outside the box to drink something different that's similar to what they drink. That pairs well with what they're eating.
Right. And that's cool because they could be like, I don't drink that kind of beer. You know, I don't drink that kind of beer. It's too strong or something. Like, nah, dude, the food you're going to eat with it will complement it. Like, it'll back you up. You know,
it's not, different.
You're not just drinking that. Because, like you said, if you're at Alvarado, and again, I don't mean to pick on Alvarado. We obviously love Alvarado. But when you're at a place that just serves beer and you don't like a beer or a beer is kind of kicking your ass.
Yeah.
You either don't drink it or you suck it up and you deal with it, you know? Yeah. But if you're at a restaurant, you can be like, can I get some fries? You know, can I get some French fries or something, you know, to really back you up. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why beer and wine gets paired with food, you know?
Right.
Because they do complement each other. Yeah. And sometimes when, some of these fucking beers locally, well, as delicious as they are, they just kick your ass, you know? They just fuck up your taste buds, you know? And you need something to bring them back to life. Yeah. And that's where the food, I think, really comes into play. And I love that, again, you guys think about that. And then that goes into the preparation of the beer menu and the food menu. Is that like, hey, these have to work together.
Absolutely.
Because we're not here just to get people stuffed or get them drunk or something.
No, and that's one of the things. This is one of the things that we actually have fun with. Especially with our pitmaster Hondo that we partnered up with, and then also Manny. Manny is a good friend of mine that worked with me at Cajon. Everybody that works in this restaurant are people that I worked with or I have a relationship with that are involved in the food industry that I know create great dishes to be a part of the team and develop what we're trying to push with the Stoney's brand.
Yeah. And they're all local, so they get the local people. Yeah.
If I could tell you about Manny, I mean, Manny, I worked with him for quite some years. His dad's well known in Old Town, opening the El Camarón and different restaurants and doing seafood, ceviches, and all this great fruit from Sinaloa. And then Hondo, he's doing competition barbecue. From Texas and Kansas, and I went to high school with this guy, you know, and I bought food from him, you know, doing it. He had his pop-up tents and he would do his pop-up sales on social media. I would buy food from him. He would bring his family to our food truck and they would buy food, and then, you know, vice versa. I would go buy barbecue plates from him. And one day I told him, like, hey, bro, one of these days we're going to do something. Like, we're going to collaborate. We're going to collaborate somehow. And that's what I always wanted to do, is collaborate with different breweries, local breweries, wineries, and local people here that have a vision about making and serving great food. And I brought those two guys on my team. And it's been a journey, man. And this is where we're at now. And my wife's, she went from makeup cosmetics to run in the kitchen.
Yeah.
She's in the kitchen running there like a boss. She used to manage 22 people. You know, and I told her, I go, you know what? Like, this stuff is snowballing. Like, you know, it's moving. You know, you got, like, you got to decide what you want to do. And I go, I need you. This is you. You created this. You know, you listened to my crazy butt to this whole journey.
Yeah.
And now, like, you have all these people asking, where are you at this day? Where are you at that day? Our phone's ringing. When are you going to go to Monterey? When are you going to go to Upper Ragsdale? When are you? And I go, babe, like, you know? And she gave up her career and what she was doing to pursue what we're doing now. And it's all because of her, man.
Yeah, that was a big risk on her part as well.
Big risk. I mean, big risk. And keep in mind, it's not easy, man. It's not easy.
Well, that wasn't her business. It was yours, you know?
So yeah, it was not my, not even my business. It was my vision and my ideas, but she owns it.
Yeah.
You know, she owns it. She runs it and she manages it. And all I do is just create. I'm just more of a creator and idealist of it, I guess, of the whole thing.
Person,
and she's the one that, honestly, this is why I'm very thankful that you give me the opportunity to share this, because honestly, it's all her, man. Yeah, because if it wasn't for her backbone and her doing this, you know, listening to me or pursuing this and her love for me and what I was going through, I mean, this wouldn't be possible. Because she could have just been like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to do this.
That's a big risk. I think a lot of people, and to be honest, if she would have decided at that point that that wasn't her, it wouldn't have been a bad choice. You know, it wouldn't have been a mean choice. It would have been a smart choice, actually. You know, it was a crazier or a more difficult choice for her to take that risk that she did.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, okay, yeah, that's a good person. And that's somebody that, hey, it seems to be working out so far. But
so far it's going, and it's going great. We got a lot of events coming up. This Saturday, we got a big event. We got Valentine's four-course dinner.
Oh, wait, yeah. Saturday is the 49er game, right? We got to bring that up right before we're about to wrap this up. But for sure, we have to bring that up. You will be open for that. I was curious myself because it's kind of early, right? It's on a 1:30.
Yeah, 1:30. Brunch. And, we're open up for brunch on Saturday. So Saturdays and Sundays, we're open up for breakfast at 8 a.m. both days. We got brunch, you know, brunch, mimosas. And then for this Saturday, we're going to be having North Coast Brewing. They're going to come in. You buy a beer, your second round of beer. You get to keep the glass. So a nice North Coast Brewing glass. We're going to have micheladas, mimosas. Mimosa. How is that? Mimosas, no?
Right, mimosas.
Yeah, so we'll have those. We have appetizer specials. So it should be a great event. It's going to be fun.
Oh, they do scrimshaw, right?
Scrimshaw. They do scrimshaw. They got some
Brother
Thelonious. Yeah, they got some awesome beers. Yeah, they're out of San Diego.
Oh, okay. Yeah, hell yeah. So North Coast Brewing, and that the game's at 1:45, I think. So
1:35.
Yeah, okay.
On Saturday,
and then
we're gonna have burgers, bacon dogs,
Southman. I mean, what was the address again? But everybody knows, dude. People, you're from Salinas, like, addresses don't matter. Like, it's the Knob Hill Shopping Center, dude.
1366.
Y'all know where that's from. Don't know where that's from, you haven't lived here long enough. But everybody knows where that's at. Sergio, once again, thank you for coming on. Sorry for keeping you so late on a weekday.
No, thank you for having me, man. This is a blessing to actually be on your show. I've been wanting to be.
I'm gonna go rub this in the face of all the newspaper people. Be like, ha 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 ha. Look at my interview.
You need like three pages. Or
listen to my interview. Dude. Yeah, you could never get this.
And you know what? There's no other.
I love to be able to tell these stories.
Yeah, you know what? There's no one else. You're the first one, bro.
I'd love to be.
People have heard it, but I've never put it on.
I mean, this is on the internet.
Internet or any other type of platform.
I'm telling you, we have millions and millions of potential listeners. Bro, potential, but they don't listen.
You don't even know.
Y'all gotta listen.
No, you know what? They probably do, but you don't know.
I mean, we get really good numbers, and it's a lot of people from Salinas, which I love. again, we're not an international show, you know. We don't try to sell ourselves at that, so I don't try to compare my download numbers to people that just do shows for general population. We do a show for Salinas. So, and I believe we get really good downloads for that, and I get really great feedback. And again, shout out, thank you for everybody. Before we sign off again, at Salinas Podcast, you can follow along and shoot us messages. We got great response. You can see I took a picture of my grilled cheese tonight. That was my warm up meal tonight was actually Stoney's. That's what's great about doing the show. Again, like I said, we got to do research. Dang, we got to do that research. Yep. And if that research involves eating delicious food, but Sergio, thanks again for coming on. Yeah, chicken and waffles. You really can't get that in Salinas. Well, a lot of this stuff, you really can't. And it's really well done. Look, someone's got a mimosa right there.
Chilaquiles.
Boneless chicken. Oh, and chilaquiles?
Yeah, we got chilaquiles. I'm going to be doing menudo probably in the next couple of weeks on Sunday. Micheladas. So Manny, one of our cooks, he does some Sinaloa style chelada mix.
And I'm trying chelada to what?
Chelada. You know, like michelada?
Yeah.
The Clamato conjunction. He has a recipe that him and his dad put together. And his dad actually is, he's well known here in Salinas and Monterey County. He had a restaurant in Old Town Salinas, and then he made the menu for a lot of restaurants here in Salinas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did for Bankers Casino, Hacienda. They had El Camarón in Soledad. They had one here in Salinas. So his dad's well known. And I'm very fortunate to have that guy, man. Me and that guy have grown together. And then, he's been part of the team. And he has some bomb ceviches, man. If you like ceviche, I'll be doing some ceviches this
week. Dude, when I was there earlier, the Surf and Turf tacos.
That's Hondo's special.
Tri-tip and fucking ceviche, dude.
Have you ever had a barbecue? Have you had a barbecue and you're in the backyard having a good time and you got tri-tip and you're like, I'm going to throw it on a flour tortilla, and then you're going to throw some salsa, and then you see the ceviche. Have you had the crab and shrimp ceviche and you throw it on there with some avocado? That's the Surf and Turf.
I saw that. Those are like backyard
comfort food. So all these foods that we're putting together or that we have served is like stuff that we've had or we eaten and that we enjoy and we want our customers to enjoy. And that's our whole purpose of, you know, Stoney's Tap House and Bistro.
Yeah.
Having good food.
Well, and again, anyone listening, y'all can go check it out as well for yourself. Knob Hill Shopping Center. It says 11 to 9 here, but you said on the weekends it's 8 a.m., right?
Yeah, Saturdays and Sundays. We are open now at 8 a.m. on Saturday till 9, and on Sundays from 8 a.m. till 3 p.m., and it's Stoney's _Tap House.
Oh, yeah, on Instagram. It's a new Instagram. Stoney's _Tap House. Go follow them. You got a bunch of great pictures.
I need to upload more photos. Of
food.
Or ribs. We got ribs, tri-tip,
ribs brisket, from 4 p.m. wings. Until they run out.
Yeah, the ribs go out quick, man.
I was going to try to ask, but I was like, I'm not even going to get embarrassed. At 7 p.m. asking if they have ribs.
We got Philly cheese sandwiches, barbecue, pulled pork, burgers. One of the popular ones is the green chili whiskey burger.
Green chili whiskey burger?
Yep. It's with
these little hatch chilies.
Hatch chilies. Yeah. Oh, man. That burger. Yeah, but that's us, man. Handmade tortillas. All our sauces are made from scratch. Our barbecue sauces are made from scratch. Everything's made in-house.
It was... what comes out of the carts is amazing, but what I had tonight, because it's the same thing I had out of the carts, it definitely seemed a little elevated, a little more, you know, restaurant, brick and mortar. Yeah, you got the right people on the team. Got the right cooks. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man, it's a blessing to have these guys, man. I love these guys. These guys are bad.
Hell yeah. All right, Sergio, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you.
Go visit. Go eat. You're going to love it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you. Later.